Hanukkah coming up in a couple of days, around the corner. Here's something very interesting. In the beginning of Parshas Bahalo Yitzchak, the Pasuk tells us, Vayedaber, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Leima, Daber laharim v'omata elos Bahalo Yitzchak taneiris, el mum panei habanoira, yo'ilu shivas taneiris. Okay? Now that actually tells us, right away in the beginning of the Pasuk, what is the connection between the Parsha of the Nesiim and the Parsha of the Menorah? Right? The Nesiim and the Menorah. Loma nisoch ha-Parshat ha-Menorah le-Parshat ha-Nesiim. L'fi, shekesheru Aaron Chanukah ha-Nesiim, when Aaron saw the Chanukah of the Nesiim, Chosha o-Zaitai, he got Chalitah Tadat, Shlo Yehoya Imam b'Chanukah, that he was not part of it in the Chanukah. Loi hu v'loi tishtai, not him and not anybody from the Sheva. What happened? Amalei Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry about it. Hayecha, I promise you, Shalacha Gedoyla Mishalahem. What you're doing is greater than what they're doing. Sha'afka Mazlik Yimeita Netanei. You hear why it's greater? Because you're going to fight the Menorah. That's what the Hashem says there. But the Ramban takes this Rashi to pieces. You got to hear this Ramban. The Ramban says, Lo Manitcha L'Pash Tamanoyah, he reads Rashi, V'loin is barely, the Ramban says, I don't understand. Lama nichamay rablokat haneiru. Question of the Ramban. And you listen to the way the Ramban puts down the question. It's something, it tells you, like, how didn't I think of this? The Ramban says, hadlokat haneiru is the answer for the karma that he was missing? Huh? What's the secret of the menorah? What's the secret of the menorah? The Ramban says, what are you talking about? Firstly, if you want to know how Hashem is Meshaveh to Levium, with the Ketores, right? Yasimu Ketores Ba'apecha. Okay? So Ketores, Vaykev Erev. Does anybody else have Ketores? No, just Aaron. Chola Kabonis. Aaron is jealous that he's missing one Karim. Aaron is all the Kabonis. That's the next part of the Ramban. Minchat Chavitim. Avoid the Tiyan Rakipurim. Only can be with Aaron, right? Nichols of Naival of Slim. Kodesh Hashem is in the Heichal every day. L'shosai, L'vorach B'shmoi. His Shevet is Kulei Kodesh. Right? So what do you say about? And then what happens? Hashem gives him a Menorah. What's so excited about the Menorah? You have all those other things along your way. That's the question Ramban asks. V'oid, another question. Matamach L'shadah. He says, his Korban that he brings every day is greater than the Korban of the Miluyim. Okay, so I'll just take a look. In Taima Shal Yechayv and Stavi, Chol Shadaisa Yashle Yikiv Nidove Kemoy Vachanika Samanzeya Gamad Lokat HaNeish Nichli Boi Chayv Ben Stav Alel. So you want to say because there had to be a donation on the Dove, and he didn't want his Korban to be a Chayv, but the Ramban asked, what are you talking about? The Menorah is also a Chayv. So what's so impressive? Avu Inyan HaHagoda HaZu, the Ramban answers, Lidroish Remes Men HaParsha Al Chanukah Shel Meiris. It's really referring to not the Chanukah, the present Chanukah, but it's referring to the future Chanukah. The Ramban says, Shaitu Bebeis Sheni Ayde Aaron Yivonach V'tsoy Niloyma Chashmeinoi Koyin Gorm Yivonach. You hear what the Ramban says? So the Ramban says it's not referring to the present Menorah. He's saying you're going to have something greater than this because you're going to have Chanukah in the future, and that's going to be from your mitzvah. No, you hear it? Very difficult for Ramban to understand. How does he answer the question? And furthermore, how are we going to understand it? What does Rashi tell us? Right? The question of Rashi is a pretty solid question. What's the answer to Rashi? So, give you a little bit of a thought that you can think about to understand the whole Chanukah, how it all works itself out. There's a sefer written called Gilyoni Hashat. Gilyoni Hashat was written by Rav Shlomo Kluge. He wrote beautiful Torah. He was a big machaber. Beautiful, beautiful Torah. He asked a classic question. What was the problem why the Chanukah left had to be Tahira? It couldn't be that it was Tameh. We have a concept called Tumah Mutar B'Tzivah. No? So what's the answer? Why do you need to have the Chanukah with the Menorah? What's the answer? Yeah, what's the answer?
The ray of light.
Yeah. But the plan goes with another alichus. You know the other alichus he says is that when you machana chamitzvah for the first time, it has to be done perfectly. Right? There's a beautiful kind of letter that says that there was, the one of Amiran says that I would have done that, the Torah would never have been forgotten. I would go and I would plant and I would take an animal. That's what, because when you want to do something that it should last, you have to do it the first time right. If you don't do it the first time right, you know, there's a certain yeshiva that they opened the yeshiva. When they opened the yeshiva, a few years later it closed down. They couldn't afford to fund it. He said, it's rough once you fund the building to keep it running. So they came to the Chazon Ish, the yeshiva cried to the Chazon Ish, and he said, why is it that I worked so hard to put the yeshiva together and the yeshiva fell through? The Chazon Ish said, tell me what happened today that you opened the yeshiva. So he said that they opened the yeshiva, all the wealthy people came, and we, you know, we had a groundbreaking, and we drank l'chaim. The Chazon Ish stopped him. He said, you know, when the Alpes of Slabotsky started to build the yeshiva, every Rosh Yeshiva, the yeshiva fasted the whole day and cried and davened that the yeshiva should be successful. Because if you start a yeshiva by drinking l'chaim, that's going to be the end of the yeshiva. When you start something new, you have to start it with full effort, with a full kaiches. That's the only way to start something. So the Shlomo Kluger says this answer. The Shlomo Kluger says that the first time, there's no excuses, there's no tumma that happens to be today. It's got to be straight through. It has to be perfect without any issues whatsoever. Now let me tell you a beautiful meshachacha. This in Yuma Chavdal and Amad Beis, we know that they have Makas HaMenorah kosher with a Zohar. Do you have to be a Kohen to light a Menorah? Absolutely not. They have Tovet HaNeiros, right? But the concept of the lighting of the Neiros is kosher with a Zohar. On the bottom of Masechet Yuma, there's a Taisus Yishanim. Taisus Yishanim asks the question. The question is, if the Menorah is allowed to be lit with a Zohar, not a Kohen, then yes, how come it says in the Pasuk, Daber L'Haroin, right? That's and the Taisus Yishanim is saved by a Tzarachim.
What's the Nechama for Haron?
And what's the Nechama? Right, he only has to be beautiful. And what's the Nechama? He's not lying it anyway.
Anybody can do it.
They have to do the Atzarachim. They have to clean out the candles and put in the wicks, but you're right, it's the lighting up the candles we seem to be focusing on. Excellent question. Take out the Mesha Chochma, Parshas Bahaloscha. The Mesha Chochma says something fascinating. He says, you're right that the candles could be lit forever with anybody else. But the first time the candles were lit, it has to be through Aaron's Kohen. That's how he answers Tosfos, and it ties right into this concept that when it's done the first time, it has to be done correctly. Now you're asking me a question. What was the Nechama to Aaron? Now you're because he was bothered that the start, the kochot that go in to get something off the ground, that has to be perfect kochot. And he was bothered that he had no part of that. So Hashem said to him, Shelachot Yisraelim Shelahem, you're also going to be starting kicking off the Beit HaMikdash. But now let's understand it even deeper. Why is it Yisraelim Shelahem? Why is it even greater than what the other ones have? So let's understand this even on a deeper level. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu not go into Eretz Yisrael? Because then Mashiach would have to come right then and there, right? Why does David HaMelech not build the Beit HaMikdash? Why? Because then it would never become Chorus. Because if when the first time something is done, it's done perfectly, it remains forever. Why is it that we still have the Menorah today? Because Aaron HaKohen lived. Yeah, so it's Nitzchi. That candle lighting is perfect. And that candle lighting goes on forever. There's no way ever to be mevatel that light that you mentioned from Kohen Shalevet. That Ur is an Ur that goes in every generation. I'll tell you something beautiful. In the Medrash in Bereishis, the Medrash says, V'choshe is Golas Yavon, Shehichshicha Einein Shal Yisrael B'Gzeiraseyem. It darkened the eyes of Klai Yisrael with the Gzeiras. So the Rav Rashi in Yerushalayim was Rav Kulis. Remember Rav Kulis? He was the Rav Rashi in Yerushalayim. So he once said in the Drasha, he said, Hichshichu Einayim Shal Yitzrol. What happened? Their eyes got darkened, but the light still remained. The Yevonim only have a kayach to disconnect us from the light. We shouldn't see the light, but the light is always there for us. Because Aaron HaKohen's light is nitzchi, if there's something that remains forever. Now, let's talk about one more thought, we'll go right to a beautiful studio I want to go to. I tell you know what's beautiful about Chayesh Mishpat now? We're trying to do subjects that are not the generic subjects anymore. You know, it took us like the first year and a half to familiarize ourselves with the basics. Now the Shiurim was saying are stuff that you just about never hear. So it's more challenging for me too, I have to say. You know, I'm not in remote control anymore. It's much more effort on my part. But I enjoy it because, you know, as we're talking about stuff lately, which is totally uncommon. Let's talk about one more point. Kisri lachem al keren hashur she'ein lachem chelik b'lekai yisrael mimal. Right? You remember that? That's what the Medrash said. It says right on the keren hashur that you have no chelik b'lekai yisrael mimal. I want everybody to tell me why should you write it on the keren hashur?
This is
the
baby's
Bible. Oh, so you heard that stuff? That the baby's drank the keren hashur, huh?
Yeah.
You hear what he's saying? The Yevalim came and said, right on the horn of the shur. So he says that, very, very nice what he's saying. He's saying that the horn of the shur is how they gave a baby to drink. Start with the children, which ties into our past discussion. The chinuch, right. Get him at the chinuch. That's one way possibly copy doing it. I want to throw something else at you. Okay? With stones in Ezekiel, we're learning Baba Kama. Shur. What's that? Shur. Shur. Yeah. How does it kick, by the way? With a carrot.
Yeah.
Right? Shor shel Akim shenogach l'shor shel Yisro. What's the halacha? Chayav. Shor shel Yisro shenogach l'shor shel Akim. Patur. Baba Kama lama zayin. Right? Why? Because what it says, ki yigach shor ish et shor eyo, ki yigach et keren. Why? Not for eyo. No. If you think about it, then you go to Chassidim. The different halachas, and where do you see the different halachas from the years to the going, the going to the years of the keren? That they couldn't handle. That Teresh of Baal Peh. The Yvonne wanted to be moved out to the Teresh of Baal Peh. Kitzel Lechem al Keren Hashur. Where you're seeing in the Keren is a distinction between the Jew and the non-Jew. That they can't handle. Okay? And I just, one thing I saw today which to me was fascinating, and I have to put more work into this because it was the first time I ever saw such a concept. Seems to be that historically, the Goyim would tattoo onto themselves or they would put off for good luck the names of the Avodah Zorah either onto their body, or they would actually go and they would put it on a on their body, or if not onto their body, they would put it on a on whatever they wanted to be successful. They would put the name of the Avodah Zorah. They didn't have trucks then, you know. They put on their animals, whatever the case may be. I found in the Sefer Seifrim something fascinating. Sefer Seifrim, Perek Hey, Mishnah Yud Gimel. It says that if a person wrote the name of Hashem on his body, so he's now allowed to go wash himself. Right? And if a person wrote the name of Hashem on his animal, on the Keren HaPorah, that's the Lashon, Keren HaPorah, he should peel it off and he should bury it. So while you're writing names on the people, or writing it on a human being, or writing it on the Keren HaPorah, what was that all about? Huh? So the answer is, that's what they did for good luck. If a person wasn't a mom and he took his God, and he put it for good luck on, he wanted his Karen should be successful, right? If you take a look in Sanhedrin Kuf Beis on the base, the Gemara says Achav wrote on the Shar Shomron, on the gate of Shomron, She'ein Lechelik B'Lekai Yisrael Mimal, right? Remember that? Why did he write on the gate? Because that was the name for the Avodah Zorah, She'ein Lechelik. So when you want to have Ein Lechelik, you want to have that mazel, but that's what you write. So that's what they said to us, Kitzri Lechem Al Karen Hashor, She'ein Lechelik. That was what they used to do. They would inscribe it on something that meant. But the new thought, I have to work on it a little bit more because I haven't, you know, something novel I saw in the paper today, so I just wanted to point that out. Let's go right into our subject for tonight. Listen, I got an interesting question this past week, and it got me thinking. Let's talk about it. You know, I got a question this week. I had a question. I had a conversation this week between two people. One guy was building a house, and the other guy was a neighbor. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to put the scaffolding on his neighbor's property. Huh? You ever hear such a question? Right? What's that? Happens all the time. It's only one problem. It was not in this area. It surely happened in Borough Park. In Borough Park, they built for the lot line. Here, nobody built for the lot line, so you can put it. But by the way, it is a common question here. Are you allowed to put, you're about to do some work on your property. Can you take your ladder and put it on the other person's property?
They're on the roof. They do that.
They're on the roof. Yeah, they allowed to. They're sure allowed to?
I don't know.
Huh? What would you say? You allowed to?
I
Now, for sure, how's the guy supposed to get up this roof? And how is the person in those areas where they're building to the lifeline going to build in the first place? How's he going to get over it, right? Tell you what I want to talk about. There's a concept called Zenahen of Zelichot. Right? Zenahen of Zelichot. You go and put a ladder on my property, possibly Zenahen of Zelichot. But you say, no, I don't want you to do it anyways. I don't want you on my property. Right? There's another concept called Kaifen Oitai Almidas Tudoy. I want to talk about the Shir tonight. These two concepts, how they work together. When you have a case, I'm going to start off with this. And then as we start to go through this subject, I want to build. I want to talk afterwards, not tonight, but then I want to talk about what are the rules of Zenahena and Zelichosa. What are the rules of Zenahena? And what are the rules of Zenahena when you have to pay? There's a few levels, and it's very, very important in understanding many of our concepts in Chosh Mishpat of Zenahena and Zelichosa. So let's start off as follows. I'm going to start off by reading to you a Sma. And the reason why I want to read this Sma is because this Sma is an eye-opener. Because Kaifen Oitai Almidas Tudoy, right? You have to realize that there's a halacha in the Torah that says that if it doesn't bother me, I mean, now you'll hear what it means a yid. If it doesn't bother me and it does a favor for you, very likely, not very likely, in many cases, this is the halacha. I have no right to stop you even if I don't like you. Kaifen Oitai Almidas Tudoy. Now, by the way, Kaifen Oitai Almidas Tudoy, is that the Raisa, the Rabbonim? What is that? Where does that come from? Where does it say in the Torah? That's the first question. Where does it say in the Torah? So let me show you something very interesting. Alright, and I'll read one thing to you. And after I read this Sma, you'll tell me what you think. There's a Sma in Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Ayin Dalet. Kuf Ayin Dalet. Okay. Listen to this. I'm going through case by case. You'll see how beautiful this topic is. Kuf Ayin Dalet. There's a halacha called Bametra. There's a halacha called splitting up properties amongst the Yershim. Right? You have two Yershim. So let me read to you what it says in the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. It says, Hafarav Kuf Ayin Dalet is Mechaba. Ha'achman, you have two brothers. A shut from the two parties. Sheboi lach like a soda. They're coming to split a field. Huh? Well, we went into Bametra more. This specific halacha we didn't go into. Kol echad chelkoi im hoi se kulo shavu legami chokal lefi amida buvad. If everything is equal, so how do you do the split? Based on size, measurement. A person says, give me my area in one corner so it should be next to my other field. What's the halacha? The hakel soda acha, try and you listen. Dr. Machaber, listen to the Machaber. If a person says, I want to have my property in a certain corner, next to somebody else, and the other guy says, no, I refuse, I'm going to move that property, and what gives you a right over me? Kaifa oisayal zeh. You force him. Why do you force him? I'll start to show it to you. There's at least 10. No, Zenev Chosa, but Kaifin, I mean the Lashon Mechaber. Sheiki Bedova Zeh Midas Tudoyni. And since it's Midas Tudoyni, you force him. You don't give him a choice. You got it? Okay, now. Avam Hoye Chesh Mimen a Toy, by Karvo No, but how about if it's better?
It's better, right?
It's better. I Karvo Zeh, but some of you say, I offer connected to Rav, I'm assuming you be Shuma Shalim is Tadzeh, and Shalim is Maitin Begoyal, right? So if it's better, then you can't force, because already I'm having a war. So there's no Midas Tudoy. Okay. That's what it says over here in the Mechab. Now I'm going to read to you a Sma. Okay, I'm going to read one more Mechab. HaBachor Shecholak, when you have a Bachor that's Cholak, so let's say you have, somebody dies, he has two children, two sons. What percentage does the son, the older son get? What percentage does the second one get? The older one gets? How much is double?
Ah.
Two-thirds. And how much do the younger one get? One third. This is a simple way of doing it. You always make believe there's one more child. And if you make believe there's one more child, the older one gets two shares. By the way, I mentioned already when we did the shiurim on Yerusha, that a lot of people today don't give tishnayim to an older son. There's many reasons. Historically, the oldest son used to basically run the whole family together with the father. He was like the second father to the family. Today that has changed a lot, but a lot of circles today they don't do that. And what do? They just give to every single, they give him a token amount.
What's
that? Din Torah, he should get. But if the father makes a tzavah, he's not obligated to.
Okay, but it's not Torah.
No, it does make a difference, because you don't want to be a master matrikos of the Torah. But the Mishnah really says that it's not a problem, because you can be meister to one and take away from the other. And so the Mishnah says, as long as you give each one something, so it's not really an issue. Okay, now, listen to this. So if you have a bechor split, so he takes two shears. Okay, two shears as one. Now the smart comes along and says, so now when you split it amongst the two brothers, and one is getting two parts and one is getting one part, so I say, one says, the Bechor says, I want it on one side, I want it on the other side. Right? Now that is not what he's going to say. What is he going to say? He wants his two next to each other. What does the other brother say? No, I want the field that's in the middle. Listen, you got double, take one on this side, one from the other side. Who's right? Bukhar is right. And what does the Bukhar get?
Two together.
Good? Now, so far everyone's on the same page. Let me complicate things now, because we're all on the same page. I don't want to make it so simple. Let's complicate things. How about if you have a Bukhar in the middle, and what happens, the Bukhar has two and the other brother has one, but the land in the middle is better quality than land on the two sides. In other words, the reason why it was so simple till now is because everything was equal. Doesn't mean that's nice. But what would happen if the property in the middle would be better quality and the property on the two sides would be inferior quality? What would you say we would do in such a case?
I think we'd give him extra
because of that. Fine, you're talking about extra, but can we force him to say, because some people want to have more, better quality.
Right.
Can we force them? Is there midas tzedoyim in this case too? Now you have a problem, because it's not midas tzedoyim. So, believe it or not, the Sma says, the Sma comes up with a chiddush, the Sma says, that's what it means when it says in the Torah you have to give pishnayim. Why does it say the word pishnayim? Two shears?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't it just to give kaful? Two for one, that you hear it? This is the Sma. Sma says when it says in Shulchan Aruch that you have to get the Torah, that's Tishnayim. Tishnayim means that he gets two shares together as one. So you're not splitting anymore into three, like we said. I said the easy way to figure it out is split into three children and then. No, that's not the answer. What's rather happening here? You're splitting it right away into two children and one children gets a double share. Tishnayim. That's what the Sma says in Shulchan Aruch. You
force.
Then the Sma has a question.
Value-wise, they're getting the same amount.
Value-wise, he said already, you'll have to do pro rata, but on the other hand, the pieces are sliced. One is getting a double piece, and one's getting a single piece. Mm-hmm. You can't separate the two. So the Sma. But then the Sma says something which is fascinating. The Sma says, how do I know that's what the Torah said when he said Pishnayim? Maybe the Torah was saying that, you know when I said Pishnayim? When it's all the same quality, to tell me, listen to this smart, beautiful question, to tell me that you get your share together. So the smart says, no, that's not what the Torah was telling me. Why not? Because that would be me this time.
Yeah.
Well, in other words, when everything is worth the same amount, and you tell me the Torah would have to tell me Pishnayim, that's me this time, I don't need. So the answer is, these signs come and tell me when it's two different values, that you keep it together as one property. That's what the Sma says. So there's a sefer written, the Milchas Pitim. The Milchas Pitim in Kufayin Dalam and Shulchan Aruch says, stop, let's talk about this. What did the Sma just tell us? The Sma just told us that Midas Tadoim is. You heard what Simon said? Midas Tadoim is Doraita. And that already is fascinating. Because remember, the Sma is learning that based on the way the Pasuk should have should have said it. It was not necessary. Pishnayim, because Pishnayim couldn't be talking about that case to have Midas Sodom. Which means the Torah, the Halakha, the Torah really is behind Midas Sodom.
Yeah, so when you bring that down from
Great. Now, next question. Where do you take it from? That's the next question. Where does it come from? Yeah?
I was alluding to Midas Sodom. I mean, that.
What's that?
When
it's Bishnayim, the Sma says has to be talking about in a case when the two. See, again, you can disagree with the Sma. You can say that Bishnayim is talking about a case when they're equal. Mm-hmm. But the Sma says it's impossible because that case is Midas Sodom. You know it naturally. Now, if it's the Rabban, that is the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. So now already we have. So now what's your next question? So where does that say? Okay, so no? Now you got to help me out on here. So, at Baruch Hashem, I did some research. And I finally was much clear. I found in the Pesukim of the Yeshua Leib Diskin. The Pesukim of the Yeshua Leib Diskin, he has 240 little sekas and hakiras that he wrote. And the last one he wrote was about Midas Sodom. I found it to you, I was looking at it, I said, where did he date from? Sure enough, he mentions it. The Sapakni Mai, look at Midas Sodom, he says, what is the possible source? And he says it must be because of the Hasar Lereyasa Kimoichim. That's what he feels. But he says, now he has an issue. His issue is, and it's going to be a very, very important question in the understanding of Midas Sodom. The Hasar Lereyasa Kimoichim is an obligation by Sheva Altasa or Kumva Afrei. That's his question. In other words, he says, we find, for example, Hoshev by Aveda, that's Kumva Afrei. He says, we find, like, Samba Bavriyecha, Kumba Ase.
What? I'm sorry?
It's Sanhedrin. Blow them with Tayyapa. Yeah, blow them with Tayyapa. Right. But you see, on the other hand, in Shabbos, it says, Zaloch Sani, Lachavach Leisavit. But that's Lili. That's Ted Altasa. So they write, and I'm sure right, that that's for a Goik. But after Rachimarcha, that a Goik can comprehend is not its Shev Altasa. But after Rachimarcha, that a Yid comprehends is to do for the other one. Okay, so now he basically goes with that style. He writes something very, very interesting. I mean, it's fascinating what he writes. There's a Gemara which we learned. Remember, we learned about Hezek Shein Nikar. But Hezek Shein Nikar, we spoke about Matan Madan Manasseh, right? There's a machloket in the Gemara if it's Midaraisa or not. One man the Yama says that Midaraisa, you can cause another person Hezek Shein Nikar. He says, let's think about it. One second. Why is that not Midaraisa? You tell me. So you go and you make another person's item tamei. What's right? You have to do that. Kaisvayz amidus time. If he says even bekumba, why don't you say kaisvayz amidus time? He says the answer must be. This is very interesting, Mr. Shulay Diskin. That the only way to understand the Gemara by Hezek Shein Nikar is that the item that you're being matamei, you have no choice. You need to do it for yourself. For example, you need to get to a meeting and you're tamei and you have to pass over his item. That you have no choice. But if not, if you were metameh the other person's item just for the fun of it, that would be Midas Sodom. That's what he wants to say, to understand that Gemara. Okay. So, having said that, I did find a fascinating tshuva which is written in the Shus Yaakov. Shus Yaakov deals with the following question. It's a very interesting Shus Yaakov. The Shus Yaakov deals with a question that there were two brothers, they got a Yerusha, a house from their father. Okay? Now, I wanted to tell you where I'm going now with this part of the shir. And you see, because there's a concept. Let me just say one thing before what we're reading right now. If I want to clean my gutters, right? And in order to get up to my gutters on the side of my house, my leaders and gutters, I need to put up a ladder that's going to go onto your property. And you say no. I'm not talking about scaffolding, which at the end of the day, there'll be a massive amount of damage. I'm not talking about that. Like, you put scaffolding down, you can break the cement. I'm talking about a simple, small ladder that doesn't affect anybody. What would you say is halacha? Midas Sodom? Likely it's Midas Sodom, but doesn't affect anybody whatsoever. Okay, we'll have to talk soon what happens if it creates damage. Now, you're asking me, why do we have to talk about that? The reason why we have to talk about it is because what happens if I say, okay, I'll give you damage and I'll pay for it. So does that make a situation like Midas Sodom, because I'm not damaging you? Okay, I know I'm putting up scaffolding on your property, and I know that I'm going to break your pavement, but here, I'll give you $10,000 beforehand that you'll be able to redo the pavement afterwards. That goes
it's
a step further.
Everything is on the other person's property.
Right.
So the person falls down and hurts himself. Who gets to lose?
That's a good question. Very good question. It becomes an insurance. But you see, here's my question to you. And how about if the two work it out beforehand that he indemnifies him? And there's no obligation. You see, that's why it's not so simple, that answer of me destroying, because what's going to happen? See, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let me talk about the first case first. First case, we should talk about is what is going to be the halakha when there is loss. So you also say koyfen oisei amidas tadoim when there is loss. You see, it would seem to be that the concept of koyfen oisei amidas tadoim is only when I don't lose anything. But if I lose something, then there's no koyfen oisei amidas tadoim. That's because the whole concept is zen ahead of the zen lechosa. And I'll show you a whole bunch of times in Shas with Zen ahead of the Lechosa gets tied directly into Kaisen Oisayami this time. That's what I'm going to show you. Okay. So first thing is a very interesting tshuva, which the Pesach tshuva brings, which I found it's in the Shvus Yaakov. And the Shvus Yaakov has the following question. There were two siblings. The two siblings split a house. Their fathers had a mansion. Seems to be the way the house is arranged. One took the right wing, one took the left wing. The right wing has a beautiful dining room, beautiful living room, very large bedroom. The left wing of the house had the kitchen, the eating area, the dining room, and a couple of bedrooms. So they have to make a decision. What would you prefer? Would you prefer to have nice living quarters, or would you prefer to be closer to the kitchen and the refrigerator? What's more important to you, the food or the spacious living room and dining room? What would you choose? That was the question by the Shvus Yaakov. So one brother says, you know what? Listen, I want space, I want to entertain, I want the dining room, the living room, that's for me. The other brother says, listen, I need a kitchen. That's what I need. So they made a deal, a fascinating tshuva, and the deal they made was, you take half, I take half. The half that you're going to get is going to be, is yours all week, but on Shabbat and Yom Tov, you give me permission to come into the kitchen to cook. And we eat together on Shabbat. But in the weekdays, in the weekdays, it's okay, for the 5 days a week, 6 days a week, I'll order out, I'll eat bread, whatever I'll eat, I'll have more space, but on Shabbat, you share your kitchen with me. And Yom Tov, that was the deal they made. The person that took for himself the living room, dining room, had a baby boy. So they went at a question for the Shvus Yaakov, so now that I had a baby boy, can I use the kitchen? He said, listen, Shabbat and Yom Tov, but also baby boy, it's like a Yom Tov. That was his argument. And the person took the kitchen and says, no, it's limited, right? It's just specifically very interesting. They go into the Shvus Yaakov has a whole way of reading, of how you read the Shtar, with Lo Yekara Oitshemecha Yaakov, right? Ki Im. He goes into the way that people would understand the Shtar. Very good, excellent. So Shvus Yaakov at the end concludes that based on the Shtar, it's limited, he wants privacy, and there's nothing doing. But then the Shvus Yaakov says, but what do we do with lots of meat after dying? Excellent question. You're going to take your brother and not allow your brother to come into the kitchen for a bris? Right. Exactly. What happened to meat after dying? Exactly. So at the end of this whole tshuva, which he discusses the language of the Shtar, what the language of the Shtar meant, so Shvus Yaakov says, okay. He says, now he concludes. Okay. The encouragement of Yoytim is Zemeshim Midas Tadoim, your question. So why don't we say Midas Tadoim? Even Chetzorach Lelech Lechezoi, number one, you're passing through my house. You're not pleasant to me. Listen, it's very interesting. So he's now suddenly introduced to a new concept. Midas Tadoim is only because I'm not losing. The minute I have a loss, there's no Midas Tadoim. Okay, v'gam yoytem asher mitzikin ha metaniy mitari ayudei hefzik, because every time you light a fire, the foundation gets a little bit weaker because it was built on like a cement yechayigav. All right, he says at the end, imasher toin sheyontif shaloi. He says the fact that he says that his brit milah is his yontif. He says no, but that's not included in the language, and therefore the brother cannot come in the kitchen to do the brit milah. Okay? And even though you would think right away that Tosha Mesha will need the son, he says no. The answer is absolutely not that way. Okay, so now Let's move along to the next question. We're suddenly introduced to a concept that when there's a certain amount of law, right? What happens when there's a certain amount of law? There's no
discomfort.
There's no loss over there.
Discomfort.
Discomfort.
So the scaffold is not going to cause any damage, but it's not going to let light into my house. I can stop him.
Very unpleasant. Well, the scaffold is
there. It looks ugly.
But the ladder doesn't seem like you have to ask permission. A ladder that's not going to do damage. Oh, yes, a very good question. You asked about the if somebody falls and he gets hurt, that might be a reason to object. Now, I want to go deeper because there's two questions we need to discuss. There's a Ktoyit, and there's a Nesivis, and there's a Masham, and there's a Nazi Yehuda, and we're starting to get warmed up. I mean, this is a very, very detailed subject, and every case is a little different than the previous case. But let's continue with the subject. Now, fine. So we said that when it's a case of Zenehen and Zelechosna, there's Koyfen Aish Amidah's time, as long as there's no loss to me. Because it's Zelechosna, but at a certain level of Chosna, then it will be a different story. Now, here's what gets tricky. Firstly, what is called me being inconvenient? That's question number one. Question number two, which gets even more complicated, how about if by me going and forcing you not to put up your ladder, you have to go, you have to pay me for the right to put up the ladder. So I'm chaser because I could have created money for myself because of it. In other words, if chaser, there's two ways of understanding chaser. One way of chaser is directing to me. There's a direct loss. But there's another way of understanding chaser. And the other way of understanding chaser is that by you going and allowing me to do what you're doing, I'm basically giving you something for free. And had I put my foot down and said no, you would have had no choice. You would need to put the ladder up. You'd come negotiate with me, so you'd pay me money. So it's chaser because I didn't create a situation where I created business for myself. Is that called chaser or no?
Right, maybe it's not.
Right, that's already...
Maybe something that is going to be created, is not considered a...
That case is a major machloket
to study. Now when you lose.
Right, or if you can create business for yourself... That case is when major machloikas Rishonim, the Rambam, another Rishonim, and this Mechaber, the Tzidkis. I'll show you the whole thing, so what? You can always create a business for yourself.
That's
not one. Huh? Hasmina is when we have, like, says a Chazal. Bet Hashem, over the next couple of weeks, we'll go through it. There's a Chazal that's not owned with Lomega, so it's not made for money. There's a Chazal which is not owned with Lomega, so that nobody creates business out of. It's not made. Nobody pays for this kind of service. Nobody pays to put a ladder. But there's a chosra which is oimid lamega, but you're not a gavra which intends to rent. I'll go through it when we do the Gemara day in Bava Kama. So there, what will happen is that I can force you into the situation that you should become a gavra oimid lamega. That's what I can do to you. So that's where it gets more complicated. So, before we get to the answer, also we need to discuss the question a damage. What's called a damage? Right, this is inconvenience, damage. And the other question is, how about when there's an inconvenience? What is inconvenience is hard to say, but when there's a damage, and I'm there and I say, I'll pay you for the damage. So do I create a situation? Can I create a situation in your property if there's an end of a chaser? And then I can create a midas toim and then you can't stop me. Those are all the appropriate questions. And then we need to even talk a little further when you have a case. So basically speaking, remember we had a whole shiur, we spoke about Mishtamish Nisachadei Shalei B'Shut. You're not allowed to go and use another person's property without permission. So, but if you have a case of Zerahen and Zerichosa, you technically should be allowed to use the other person without permission. But if I know that you're using it without permission and Zerahen and Zerichosa, do I have a right to say I don't give you permission? Right? Those are the questions that we should think. Okay, so let's now deal with the Ksoyt and the Nesivis on the subject. That's the next thing which we should take a look at it. Okay, in Simin Kuf Nun Dalas is a very interesting Ksoyt and a very interesting Nesivis. It's a nice sugya because the sugya happens to be spread all over the place. The sugya, and you have to take a little piece here, and sort of kind of mix and match this subject. In Kuf Nun Dalas, it says as follows. Okay. You remember this halacha called Niske Shechina. You can acquire for yourself rights a right to put a window, a right to put a door. You can get a chazaka to have a window, to have a door in a certain spot. Once it's beer ready, if another person wants to put a window, it shouldn't directly face your window. There are all kinds of hezekriyas, all kinds of halachas of this sort. Okay, now, in the halacha here says as follows, in Kuf Nun Dalet, and I'm going to read for you the Mechaba. Mechaba says as follows. Okay. Oye Pesach shel echad me'ashutim b'chotze kotten. If you have a small window in your chotze, eini yochel la'achiva, you can't go and replace it with a big window. Because a small window is hard to look into the other person's property. You got a little glass window, nothing, not a big window. You can't go and put a big window there. You can't say, I have a chazaka to have a window, because it's hard to look out of a small window. Shavei shutzei oimeloi, the neighbor says to him, the Pesach Kotel with that small window, and the Yochel is Satan Imecha, B'Shat Hashmish, when I'm doing my different things, I can stop you from looking at me, I can hide. But when you have a big window looking at my whole property, the Ein Yochel is Satan Imecha, Pesach Gotel. The Voya Pesach Gotel, let's say he has a big window, Layasen Ashnaim, you know the right to make it into two. Shariyoy Meloy, the Pesach Echad, and the Yochel is Satan Ashnaim, and the Yochel. One big window, I see you not in the window, but two windows, I never know where you are, I can't hide. I will meet Shoy by Pesach Kotel and Shutter Rabin. The person has a small door to the Shutter Rabin. Barut Lachila, he wants to make it bigger. That's fine. Alright? Faint of Lemon, the Shutter Rabin, Shay Yechayim Lachim Olam. Fine. Okay, now next. Echad, listen to this halacha. Echad may have Shutzim, one of the partners, Shoy by Pesach Pesulach Lachotza, he has a door which is open to the Chotza. The Holy Shtei Dalsus, he has two doors. The Roysa Lasoysa Delas Echad, he wants to combine into one door, right? Yes, I'm in. All of these halachas, one after the other. I'll do one more halach and then I'll go to the third. Misha Bo Lashaya Chaloy Machosa Chaloy. I have to figure this. I've been between my property and your property, and I want to put a window. Right? Listen to this halacha, it's a very interesting halacha. Ben Chaloy Gedoyla, I want to put in a big window. Chaloy Tana, I want to put in a small window. Bein Lamala, Bein Lamata, I want to put it high, I want to put it low. Balachot to Ma'akavolo, I can always stop you from putting in the window. Shahari Oy Metavikli Beria, you're doing Hezekriya. Huh? Oh, you're asking the question, the right question, what you're supposed to ask. I'm going to get to the question in a second. The AFLP, and even though, Shahu Gavoya, Tala Basil and Batira. You say, what are you talking about? I'm taking, we have a fence in between my property and your property. So I say, I'm putting the fence 20 feet up in the air. I'm putting the window. I just want to have light in my property. I want to have light. I'm putting this huge window. But the window is so tall, it's two stories high. No, I don't like you. Hezekriya. Hezekriya? What's Hezekriya? You might take a ladder and climb all the way up to the top, and you're going to look into my property.
Yeah, but you take a ladder and look over the wall.
Oh! But excite. Brings a question from the Ramban. So it brings a brilliant question. The halacha is, this is also a mechab in Shulchan Aruch, that if the two of us have a property, we're neighbors, we can force each other to put a fence. Why can we force each other to put a fence? As a kriya. How high can we force each other to make the fence? Up to Dalaramas. Why not higher than Dalaramas? Because over Dalaramas, people are not looking.
It's not high.
Huh?
Not high.
What? Yeah, it's 6 feet. 6 to 8 feet, depends on the shear. That's pretty much as high as you can look. Right? So the Ramban asks, let's take this apart now. If there's a problem between my property and your property, so how high do I have to put the wall up to 6 feet? So according to that, if I want to put the wall up 8 feet, it should be okay. That's Ramban's question. Brilliant question. So the Ramban says, first terrace is, you have to climb up to
harder.
So he says, if it's in the open public, it's a fence.
Right.
Nobody's going up to the fence with a ladder.
It's
private, it's higher, you know, you block the race. So then to go look at the window is more accessible. That's the Ramban says. So the Ktois Achoshen in Kuf Nundalit says a brilliant terrace on the Ramban's kasha. He says the two cases, the two mechabas, are not the same thing. There's no steam in the Tumachat. Listen to the Ktsoit. You'll hear the brilliance of how the Ktsoit thinks. The Ktsoit says, What do you want to do? You want to put a window on the lot line. Why do you want to put a window? Because you're taking sunlight. Who's giving you the sunlight? Well, whose sunlight are you taking? Mine. Because you're taking my... I'm your neighbor. You're taking my sunlight.
How are you taking the sunlight?
I don't have to allow you to take the sunlight from my property. Everybody's looking at me like I'm off the walls, that's exciting. Because, listen, what are you talking about? Of course you can take sunlight. It's me that's fine. It's me that's fine to tell the neighbor you can't take the sunlight from my property.
Are you making his property darker?
No, you are.
Well, look at that. I have my wall here.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, we're only obligated to make the wall till here. But now you want to make a window up here. Right? A window up here. I say, no, I don't let you.
Why don't I let you?
Because this is the lot line. This is my property. The light is coming from my property into your property. Isn't it? My light going into your property.
Because they can take the wall down.
The wall down.
We'll go over the details. Why am I, in a regular case, why do I have to let the sunlight pass from my property to your property? Why? That's me, the sun. You look at me like, what kind of statement is that? Of course I'm obligated to share the light from my property to your property. Listen, if by me sharing my life with you, what happens? You have the ability in some remote case to take a ladder and go up to the window and look into my property, which is Hezekiah.
Yeah,
I don't have an obligation to give you the light from my property.
He can bring the wall down and sit on.
The wall is there. You want light. The wall is there. Is a wall there? You want light? I'm not giving you the light. The wall is not a threat because nobody goes to the top of the wall and looks over, then they notice. The window is more of a secret type of thing, but now the person can go look. You understand? That's what excites the steer of the two machabs. One with the fence, right? And one with the case of the window on top of the fence. Even though the window is higher than you would ever build a fence in the first place, but excites us because they're two different cases. Because here you're saying to me, I'm taking the light from your property. And nobody ever speaks in those terms of taking the light from your property. Why not? Because the light in your property is anybody can take the light from my property. Why? Why do we never think in those terms of taking the light from my property? Because we decide. But me this time, when I'm losing, I'm not giving you the life of my property.
Maybe he's losing by his neighbor living in the dark, it happens worth more. That's the life. Once you bring his property value down, people of his, the man bring his property value up.
Again, you have to see how direct or indirect, but the question is, okay, you're losing, but why should I lose? Why should I lose? That's the big question, okay? So now you see clearly how to went and answer two theories of two machabas. What the two machabas say, and the answer is because I'm losing. There's no midas time when I lose, but look at the losses. Remote, it's tiny, it's the loss of Hezekiah, whatever it is. Any loss that I incur, we're out.
Any loss comes
in the Nefivas, and the Nefivas says, well, let's make this more fun. I say to you, I'll pay you the amount of your loss. That's where the Nefivas goes. But let's say you could, the amount, whatever the case is, I will make you whole. Okay, so now we have a case where I want to put a letter, and so that's the next question. What happens when I will make you whole on your loan? That's where we go next. I'll take a look at the seeds, I'll see how...
In the case of a ladder, there's no place else to put the ladder.
Right.
You can't put it in the front of the house, you can't put it in the back of the house.
Right.
In other words, the only way that
you can get a roof, it's the only choice, yeah. That's the only choice. There's a law, by the way, to protect that.
Not giving permission for your to make me whole. Can we go back to that?
That's the question.
Have to accept making whole.
In other words, and that's going to be the scene. I don't have time to go to the scene.
He's got his family swimming pool out there. He says, listen, if you're going to see us, I can't let you look out the window. You'll never make me whole.
Right.
No. He's not accept anything.
I had a dentary. I want to tell you a very interesting dentary I once had. Okay, you'll enjoy it. I had a case. Where there was a person who liked sunlight very, very much. They made one of the rooms in their house, in the back, the bedroom and everything, they built it totally from glass. Okay? Then the neighbor went, not the neighbor, the house in the back built a third floor, looking right into their bedroom window.
Oh,
no? Had to create the whole back of the house in glass. Huh? There you go, had to create outright. That's a real concern of Hezekiah in a serious case. And we have to make the other house in the back of the house put a window that you can't see out from the inside. You know,
yeah,
like
how do you
glass.
Do this? Right.
Yeah, yeah, so that's just, but there is a consequence. That's a real category. But I'll just tell you quickly because we're out of time. The Ksodis is a fascinating Ksodis in the Sivis. And in the Sivis wants to machal that there are two ways to make another person whole. You can make another person whole when the loss is monetary. It's a big deal. Okay, this is the amount of money you're losing. I broke some cement. I'll fix it. There are other times when you make another person whole through inconveniences. So you say, I'll compensate you for the inconvenience. But inconvenience, a person can very often say, listen, don't do me a favor, I don't want to be inconvenienced. So that's where it gets a little tricky. So we'll have to define it a little bit more. What's considered an inconvenience, and what is considered not an inconvenience, but rather a loss, so that there's a
shame. Well, monetary loss could potentially be
replaced.
Be that,
be that science.
Inconvenience.
But I want to talk about what is the case of inconvenience. That's in the Stephen. A little bit of Hashem next. Chanukah with Lana, what's the story? Yeah, we're proud of Hashem.